Good morning and welcome to our service from the Peninsula Churches in the West Highlands today. From wherever you join us and whatever time you're watching, we hope that you will find joy in worshipping with us. It probably seems quite a long time ago now, but Christmas and New Year are just a few weeks in the past. We are still just in January. Did you make any resolutions this year? And are you managing to keep them? Apparently, the top 10 resolutions in the UK are about activities like doing more exercise, improving your diet, saving money, taking up a new hobby, things like that. So lots about self-improvement. I wonder how people are getting on with those after 4 weeks. Keeping to a resolution demands time, energy, support from others, and deciding to make the aim, whatever it is, a priority. If I intend to go to the gym more or take up a new hobby, what will I give up to make time for that? What will encourage me to make the effort and keep to my goal? Thinking about and setting priorities can be a daunting task, especially if we find ourselves at the start of a new year, perhaps in a new place or without familiar people around us, or with things happening that we didn't expect and don't feel particularly comfortable about, perhaps with reduced resources or support. As we think about priorities today, we'll start by remembering that our main objective is to keep God central in our lives, to look for his path and follow it, to recognise the resources that he offers and to draw on them. We know that if we look for God, we will find him. So our call to worship today comes from Jeremiah chapter 29. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Join us in our worship.
We are the church. Let us pray. Yours, Lord, is the glory in everything we see, in country scene, mountain stream, sunrise, sunset, rain and snow. Yours, Lord, is the glory, wherever we might go. Yours, Lord, is the glory in everything we hear. A roaring sea, a bumblebee, laughter, singing, tender words. Yours, Lord, is the glory, wherever we might be. Yours, Lord, is the glory in everything we feel. A special place, a warm embrace, accepted, included, helped to heal. Yours, Lord, is the glory. Forgive us, Lord, for when we are too busy to notice your gifts to us. Forgive us, Lord, for when we are too busy to thank and praise you. Forgive us, Lord, for when we are too busy to listen to you. Forgive us, Lord, and redirect our hearts and minds to follow you. Amen.
Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 1 and 4 to 7. This is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders among the exiles, and to the priests, the prophets, and all the other people Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat the produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and the prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you will prosper. Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 to 37 and 46 to 50. Make a good tree and its fruit will be good, or make a bad tree bad and its fruit will be bad, for a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Jesus was still talking to the crowd. His mother and brothers stood outside, wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Your mothers and brother are standing outside, wanting to speak to you." He replied to him, "Who is my mother, and who are my brothers?" Pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother."
Both of our readings today present situations where a group of people are not given the answer they expected, nor one that they found particularly comfortable. The first reading we heard from the book of the prophet Jeremiah presents a story which might raise many different emotions or reactions in us. It's part of a letter written by the prophet Jeremiah to people who'd been taken from their homeland and exiled in a foreign country. The instructions it contains might come as a bit of a surprise to us. The exiles are not told to fight off their oppressors or make life difficult for them or even try to escape. They're told to settle down, marry, and have children. work for the peace and prosperity of the foreign place they now find themselves in. Make friends with the people who've been responsible for their exile. They're also told that God has a plan for them, but it reaches for a very long time into the future, perhaps when most of those people receiving the letter might have died. How do you think you might feel in that situation? Resentful, bitter, outraged, vindictive, or disappointed, weary, despairing, hopeless? Impatient, arrogant, thinking you know better? Perhaps all of the above. In a situation like that, what would our priorities be? To listen to God's word in Jeremiah's letter, or start planning our own strategies for getting out of the situation? To knuckle down to know what we should do, or persuade ourselves that we know better? We face situations every day when we need to make decisions about priorities, big and small. Watch TV or go for a run. Eat the cake or the apple. Go to church or catch up on all of the things we've not had time to do in the week. Have a lie-in or talk to God in prayer. Have a chat to that difficult person or rush on with the excuse that you have to be somewhere else. Not exactly situations of exile or warfare, but setting priorities directs what we do and gives a picture to the outside world of what's important to us. And that's true of us as people, and also true of our church, our government, our attitude to the planet. The message that the exiled people of Israel received from God was not expected or comfortable, but it was full of promise and hope. As we turn to our second reading from Matthew's Gospel, we come across an incident in Jesus' ministry. Again, it's a situation where a group of people are given an unexpected and somewhat difficult answer. But again, an answer that's full of hope and love. It's a time of change and anxiety in that ministry. Jesus is attracting large crowds by his teaching and miracles, but he's also attracting the wrath of the religious authorities. They accuse him, amongst other things, of law-breaking and being in league with the devil. As we read this story, he's just had a brush with the religious authorities and called them snakes. And in the middle of this, while Jesus is speaking to the crowds all around him, his mother and brothers turn up. Obviously, someone points this out to Jesus. Family was as important at that time as it is now, probably much more so. And it would be expected that Jesus would acknowledge his mother and his brothers and show the responsibility and respect expected of him as the eldest son. But the bearer of the message gets an unexpected and rather sharp, well, to our ears anyway, answer. Jesus asks the question, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And then points to his disciples and says, "Here they are. Whoever does my father's will is my brother and sister and mother." Just as Jesus is the father's son, if we also do the father's will, then we are brothers and sisters of Jesus. The relationship that Jesus was pointing to did not depend on who your actual family was, who gave birth to you, or the family that you'd grown up with. The relationship with God the Father was based on doing what the Father wanted. This obviously didn't rule out Jesus's earthly family, but it included so many more people, potentially everybody. So if we want to follow Jesus in doing what God wants of us, looking for his path and following that, what does that say about our priorities? How do we keep God central to our lives? What were Jesus' disciples doing, those people who he counted as family? Well, they made being with him a priority. Some had even left homes, jobs, and families to follow him. They listened to him. They sat at his feet, giving time to him and respecting him as a teacher. They went out to spread the message of the kingdom values that he preached, and they lived out those values, values of love, compassion, fairness, and honesty. Could we make those values our priorities? Could we make our lives and churches and our communities beacons for living the kinds of lives that God wants, wherever we are, whatever we do, to nudge our world towards the kingdom of God? In a time of change, it's easy to want to be resentful or bitter for the things which we'll miss. It's easy to feel despair when we realise that things will be different and perhaps not easy. Do we give in or rebel? Or follow the advice Jeremiah gave to those people in exile? God has a plan and he will work it out if we trust him. Can we make belief in that a priority? When we're faced with a situation when we have to sort out priorities and make decisions, we can turn to hints and tips that will sort things out. Just look on the internet and you'll find all kinds of self-help tools and sources of support that can help. They usually suggest that we make a list of all the things that we think we have to do, then try to sort out what's urgent, what's important, what's both or neither. Then decide how we rank all the things into an order when we might start to tackle them. Then, and perhaps this is the hardest part, put together a schedule when we might start to get some of them done. You probably do something like this all the time, even if you don't call it a process and give it a fancy name. It's really common sense. And common sense is a useful skill to have, and not one that we should neglect in the church. But as people of faith, followers of Jesus, we also have other resources that we can call on. We can bring our activities to God, thinking them through before him, getting a perspective about their importance. And we have the guidance and wisdom of God's Spirit to lead us as we go about making our priorities, helping us to ensure that what we decide to do is what will build up God's kingdom and show his love to the world. Just as the people of Israel in exile were given a promise, Jesus' followers are given a promise too. They're called his family, children of his Father God. As his family, we share the life that he came to bring, abundant life in a loving relationship with God, a life lived loving God and our neighbour as well as ourselves. And as we were reminded in last week's video service, although parts of that life may not be easy, it's also a life of joy and celebration, a life to be lived to the full and enjoyed, whether we find ourselves in exile or with family all around us. But the priority is always to be putting God first, doing what he wants of us, following as faithfully as we can, inviting others to the celebration and sharing the joy with them. We can't hope to be a faithful community of God's people without turning to him to find out where we go next, what our priorities should be. And he will be faithful and guide us. We just have to trust him.
Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to worship, for the freedom to be amongst your family, meeting together in the warmth of your embrace. May all be welcomed and none feel excluded. Thank you that in worship you remind us that we are called to be servants of trust, not masters of worry. Help us to bring to your feet all that troubles us, the hurts, anxieties, and fears. May we leave them there, knowing that your strength and assurance are sufficient, that your love always hovers around us. As we reflect on all that has happened in the last week, all that we have seen and heard about, far and near, let us, in a few moments of stillness, lay the concerns we hold in our hearts at our Lord's feet. Lord, we offer all to you, trusting in your great power and love. Help us to see this world through your eyes, not just our own. Grant us wisdom and compassion, and show us where we need to play our part in furthering your kingdom. Amen.
Father God, your Son gave his life that we might have life in abundance, lived in relationship with you. We offer you now our hopes, our talents, our time and ourselves. Help us to use them creatively and lovingly, and with courage, to make known your love to all creation. Amen. And now we join together in the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever. Amen.
Oh,
Father, our worship here together is drawing to a close. Help us to worship you with our lives as we go out into the world as your children, doing your will. As we walk together, help us to know your love surrounding us, your Son standing by our side to encourage us, and your Spirit empowering us. For your glory. Amen.